Today, had a sermon planned for you. It was something close to my heart from Jeremiah 17 and some stuff about Moses in Exodus 3. And I think it was good stuff. I think it was worth sharing. But as I've been around Maywood this morning, I just feel like there's something that's more important to talk about today. This is not normal for me to do. Normally, we kind of stick with the plan for sermons. But I need to do something more back to our foundation this morning with this. Here at Maywood, we're super open to anybody coming to Maywood, as long as you're not going to stop somebody else from getting to Jesus or hinder somebody else from, that wants to come. You know, we want you to be a part of it. But at Maywood, we believe really important stuff about Jesus and about God as Father. And I just want to take us through a passage in John where Jesus spells it out to some people that are confused about, here's who I am, here's who my relationship with my Father is like. And if you've been a Christian a long time, you might be like, oh, I already know this. It's good to say, Jesus, I'm open to you teaching me about myself, teaching me about yourself. And if you're here today and you don't agree with this stuff, like, this is what Maywood believes, right? Like, we believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? That God exists in three persons, that they're unified, and that eternal life is relationship with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, with the Father, right? Death doesn't get in the way of that relationship, right? So it's not just life going on forever, it's that connection with them. So I don't have any slides for us that fit what we're talking about today, so you get the day off, Carl or whoever's back there supposed to be doing slides. But we're going to be in John chapter 8. And if you don't have a Bible, there's some right in front of you. I really need you to turn there because we're not going to have it up on the screen. It's John chapter 8. We're going to read quite a few verses. This is Jesus talking, so it's worth listening to. It's worth paying attention to, right? It's John chapter 8. If you look at the very front of the Bible, there'll be a table of contents. I'm going to give you time to turn there. If you're like, oh, I don't have a Bible, and maybe there's none right next to you, like, just, you can look over somebody's shoulder, right? It's not English class or something, right? You can just look over your neighbor's shoulder, read what they got in front of them. So John chapter 8 opens with this beautiful story about Jesus not condemning the woman caught in adultery, but also calling her to have a new life, to leave her life of sin. It picks up a different scene in verse 12. There's kind of a break in the narrative. And verse 12 is where we're going to pick things up, where Jesus starts to talk about himself. And Jesus is going to get one big statement about himself out, and then people are going to start throwing doubt, and he has to kind of deal with people's doubt into it, okay? And that's what we're going to talk about today. So John chapter 8, starting in verse 12, it says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So this idea that, like, Jesus is the answer. If you've ever been in a cave and it's totally dark, or some people lost power over on Nolan Road and like 23rd or something yesterday, or 39th, something like that. If you ever get in a power outage, like, you're looking for a flashlight, you're looking for a real light, right? You pay attention to that light when it's your only light. Jesus is saying, like, I'm the only real light, right? So if you're looking to somebody else, you don't have the real light. Like, Jesus is the real light. I am the light of the world. He who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. It doesn't mean you never go through hard times. If you read about people who really love Jesus, some of them go through really hard times, right? Jesus himself goes through really hard times, right? Having an easy life isn't an indicator that God loves you, right? It's that what's going on inside of you, right? Do you have that light of life, even when things are hard? Because if you're following Jesus, your inside condition should still have that light of life, even when the outside is really hard, right? So that's as far as Jesus gets before he gets challenged, though, right? Before people start trying to throw confusion into it. So verse 13, the Pharisees challenged him, here you are appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid. They're saying, Jesus, you're just talking about yourself. We don't believe you. Verse 14, Jesus answered, even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I'm going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I'm going. Jesus has a lot of confidence. Sometimes we portray, thank you guys, You guys are above and beyond. Thank you, Carl. So we're on to verse 13 now, though. Sorry. And 14 maybe there. Jesus has all this confidence we don't always give to him, right? If Jesus has never shown up in your life with any sort of confidence about who he is and how you should respond, like, you need to pay attention to Jesus, right? Jesus is very confident. Verse 15, Jesus says, you judge by human standards, right? The way the world judges, right? Like how it looks on the outside, the credentials or whatever. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. We saw, if you read earlier in chapter 8, you'd see like that's a good example of Jesus not being judgmental. But verse 16, but if I do judge, my decisions are true because I am not alone. I stand with the Father. A lot of times that will be translated with a capital F there because he's talking about God the Father, right? It's clear in context as we read on. So I stand with the Father who sent me. When it says Father there, it's talking about the God of the entire Bible, right? God who created everything sent Jesus to us, right? I stand with the Father who sent me. Verse 17, in your own law, this is talking about the Old Testament law, like Exodus, Leviticus, you know, first five books especially. In your own law, it's written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me. Then they asked him, where is your father? So Jesus is talking to these Pharisees. They say, where is your father? They're thinking it's an earthly guy to go talk to. Jesus says, you do not know me or my father. Jesus replied, if you knew me, you would know my father also. There's a package deal here, right? Like you never get Jesus without God the Father. You never get God the Father without Jesus, right? Like they're packaged together, right? You can't accept one and reject the other, okay? If you knew me, you would know my Father also. He spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts near the place where the offerings were put. No one seized him because his hour had not yet come. Because, see, Jewish leaders he's talking to, right, then they take a lot of offense to this idea of someone claiming God as their unique Father. That's the sort of thing they would kill somebody over back then, right? So they would normally get very upset about that, but it's explaining, like, it wasn't Jesus' time, so they didn't kill him yet. Verse 21, once more Jesus said to them, I'm going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. This is interesting, right? Normally we think about, like, oh, if you just try a little bit for Jesus, it's all going to work out. Here he's saying, like, these Pharisees with this hard heart, they might look for Jesus physically, and they're not going to find him. Why? He says they're going to die in their sins, and where Jesus is going, they can't come. This is confusing stuff, right? Jesus is going to tell us more. Verse 22, this made the Jews ask, where will he kill himself? Is that what he says, where I go, you cannot come? They're confused. Verse 23, but Jesus continued, you are from below, talking about the earth. I'm from above, talking about heaven. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am he, you will indeed die in your sins. So here's this idea. Humans, even if they're trying really hard, the Pharisees tried really hard to follow commandments. Even if we try really hard to be good people, we can't get away from the sin in our life, right? We can't overcome it. I think a lot of us in this room have learned this idea of like, even if I try really hard, I can't fix myself, right? And here's the idea, like, unless you believe Jesus' own claims about himself, like, there's not a hope to break free. You might be like, of course, Jake, right? Like, this is basic Christianity. But we can't also, like, ignore this stuff, right? Like, we can't ever move off of this stuff. Like, the only thing we can build is building on top of this, right? We can't build onto the side or any other direction. Verse 25, who are you, they asked. Jesus responds, just what I've been telling you from the beginning. Verse 26, I have much to say in judgment of you. But he who sent me is trustworthy, and what I have heard from him, I tell the world. Let me unpack that a little bit. So Jesus is saying here that he could get into all sorts of stuff about what the Pharisees are doing wrong. And at times he does tell them the sort of stuff they're doing wrong. But when Jesus is here on earth, he's saying the things that God has instructed him to say, right? Like Jesus and God are not on different pages. They're on the exact same page. And Jesus is revealing things that the Father has told him to say. And even right here, he's not just saying everything that he can say to be right. He's saying just what God wants him to say. If we're going to follow Jesus' example, it's not about just always saying the next right thing or proving ourselves right. It's about saying, like, what has God the Father said to you to say to somebody else? Think about this last week and how much has come out of your mouth or my mouth that wasn't inspired, right? I mean, I'm in the same boat with you guys, right? Like, I don't want to be a hypocrite. It's hard to pay enough attention to God the Father and say, like, I'm just going to say that stuff. Verse 27, they did not understand that he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. Jesus here, I believe, is referencing when he's put on the cross and lifted up. Like, that's when people see Jesus crucified, they can understand that God sent him. Verse 29, the one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. This is why we follow Jesus, right? We don't follow a political leader. We don't follow a sports star. We don't follow a supermodel or whatever, right? Like, we follow Jesus because Jesus lived like no one else had ever lived. Nobody else is anything like Jesus, right? Who can say everything I've said, everything I've done is totally in line with God who created everything. Verse 30, even as he spoke, many believed in him. Now, believe in the Gospel of John, that's a really big word, right? It comes with trust. It comes with this hope. So people start accepting Jesus, what he's saying, and you think like, oh man, it's going to all be easy from here, right? For those people that accept Jesus, right? It stays pretty rough in verse 31. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you really are my disciples. It matters what we do. We don't fix ourselves to come to Jesus. We believe in Jesus and then do the stuff that he told us to do, right? I just got to pray with somebody who years ago I got to say, stop breaking the law in this way. It's messing up what God wants to do in your life. And they got to have a praise report today, right? That they started living obedience, right? And that their life's better now, right? It does matter. Like, if we obey what God tells us to do, it does matter. Like, it changes how our life goes, right? It's like opening our hands up for God to put good stuff in our life, right? Jesus says, If you believe in Jesus today, right? Verse 31 can be Jesus talking to you. If you hold to my teachings, you really are my disciples. Verse 32, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. When we start trying to do the next right thing, we see the hold that lust or methamphetamine or pride, we see those things, what they hold they have on us, when we try to actually never do them. We try to actually follow the things that Jesus tells us to do. We start to see the grip that sin has on us. We don't think we're that bad till we try to act like Jesus. And then we realize, like, man, like, I really have a long way to go, right? The truth of trying to obey, when you try to obey Jesus, you come to the end of yourself pretty fast. And you wind up asking Jesus for help. And when you're trying to do the right thing and you fail and you fail and you fail and you keep asking for help and you keep asking for help, C.S. Lewis talks about you learn not to trust yourself in your best moments, which is really good, but you also learn, he tells us in Mere Christianity, that even at your worst moments, you don't have to despair, right? That God doesn't abandon you, that God gives you some sort of help, even if it's less help than you think you need. And over time, you start to realize like you can trust God. You can't trust your biological family or your friends or yourself the same sort of way that you can trust God. And it starts to set you free, right? We used to be on this roller coaster of how the outside world treated us. But when you start trying to obey Jesus, he takes you on this journey that sets you free because you actually get to take hold of him, right? You actually drop the other stuff and wrap your arms around him, right? But, like so many people that start the journey with Jesus, pride gets in the way for these people that he's talking to. Verse 33, they answer Jesus. These are people who believed in him. They answer Jesus, we're Abraham's descendants. And we've never been slaves to anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free, right? There's that pride of, don't you know who I am? Like, I don't need that much help, right? Some of us here today are thinking, like, I got this much sobriety time, or I got this much better than somebody else in the room. I don't need that much help. Verse 34, Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Whatever you fixed on your own isn't going to last forever. The things that Jesus has fixed inside of you are going to last. Verse 37, I know that you are Abraham's descendants. All right? Abraham from the Old Testament, God gave him all these promises, right? He says, yet you are looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. I'm telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father. So Jesus is not soft when these people who believe in him have pride. Jesus ratchets up the pressure, right? When he said, like, the Son can set you free from sin, and they bristled at that, look where Jesus is going to take it. Verse 39, they say, Abraham's our father, right? They double down. Jesus says, if you were Abraham's children, this is verse 39 still, Jesus said, you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you're looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father. Jesus is building the pressure, right? He's not saying it yet, but he's getting under their skin. We are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. Verse 42, Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. So there's this idea, if we really are reaching out towards God, when Jesus shows up in our life, we're going to accept Jesus, right? Like, if we really have a love for our Creator, when we get face-to-face with Jesus or have an interaction with Jesus, it's going to open us up to accept him, right? Verse 43, why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, 44, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. So these are people who have started with Jesus, they believe in Jesus, but then they throw up this wall of pride. And Jesus, like, goes nuclear on that pride. I mean, he is just going to totally destroy it. For them to stick with Jesus at this point, they're going to have to be like, yeah, I've been terrible. They're going to have to really be humbled to stick with them. If you're here today and there's any sort of pride between you and accepting Jesus for who he is, Jesus is not going to just let that pride sit in you like a cancer and just be like, that's no big deal. We'll just let that grow. Like, Jesus is going to attack the cancer in you. You have to choose how to respond to it, right? Verse 47, whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. So people are going to get pretty ticked when Jesus says this. And again, if you're following Jesus, he's going to push you to change, and at times you're going to feel uncomfortable. These people certainly get uncomfortable, but they get aggressive with Jesus. The Jews answered him, aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed? Like, they're just pulling out what they consider these, like, horrible insults. They went from believing to insulting him pretty fast. because Jesus struck at their pride, right? So they have this temper tantrum with them. Verse 49, I'm not possessed by a demon, said Jesus, but I honor my Father and you dishonor me. I'm not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it and he is the judge. Very truly I tell you, whoever obeys my word will never see death. We hear Jesus teach that way, like we don't normally teach that way, right? We normally say, like, you got to say this prayer in this way, and then everything's good. And there's something to that, right? As soon as we accept Jesus, like Jesus forgives us, right? Purifies us from all unrighteousness, like 1 John 1:9 talks about. But walking with Jesus is how we experience what Jesus has for us, right? If you're in the room today and you're like, is this sermon for me or not? What are you doing this week out of obedience? What did you do this week because Jesus wanted to do you to do it? You didn't want to do it, but you obeyed him because he's your Lord and Savior. If you can't pinpoint something you're doing because Jesus wants you to, like that's a scary spot to be at, right? Like you want to pay attention to Jesus and do what he says. I also got the chance to pray with somebody today that was in tears, right, about they don't know that they can stay clean and they can do all the things that they need to do, right? We know, like, when we come to Jesus, it's like, I can't make it on my own. Please help me make it. Like, Jesus is going to show up and help, right? But when we come with, like, I don't need Jesus' help. I've got this on my own. It's not good. And some of us are in the room today. We won't say it out loud, but we're living that way. We're talking without paying any attention to what Jesus wants us to say, right? A little bit further. We're going to read to the end of this chapter. We'll wrap this up. At this they explain, now we know that you are demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets, that you say that whoever obeys your will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did all the prophets. Who do you think you are? So here's the deal. Jesus is going to make claims about himself that nobody else would make, that you'd have to either be insane or be God himself to make, right? Like, it's just, that's what we believe here at Maywood. Like, we believe this stuff. And so, like, Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only one that's at a different level than every other human that's walked, right? Here's what he says. Jesus replied, if I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, who you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and obey his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. Abraham lived thousands and thousands of years before Jesus is saying this. This is a crazy statement to say. Like you can't say, like, oh, Jesus is a good teacher. But that was it. It's like, this doesn't make any sense unless Jesus is divine. Like, Jesus is a liar or he's been alive forever. Like, it doesn't make sense otherwise. Verse 57, you're not yet 50 years old, they said, and you have seen Abraham. Verse 58, this is where he ratchets it all the way up. Very truly, I tell you, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. You know, I was going to read to you guys, the original sermon plan was out of Exodus 3, was going to be some of it. That's when Moses and God are talking, and Moses is like, who do I say sent me? And he says, tell them that I am sent you, right? Like God's own name for himself, right? That he first revealed himself through Moses to the people of Israel. Jesus is claiming this, right? And you're like, oh, no, this is out of context, right? That's Jesus didn't really mean that. Well, that's what everybody thought he meant. Because in verse 59, it says that this, they picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. So everybody that heard it, the first time hearers, they thought Jesus is claiming to be God right here. Right? So this is not the sermon I was planning to give to us today, but like as a church, this is our foundational belief that Jesus is God, that we can't make it without Jesus, that Jesus is the answer, right? And like, if you're not at that spot, you're still welcome to be a part of things here, but I also want to be clear, like, this is what we believe. Like, it's not going to change, right? Like God, who revealed himself in Genesis by creating everything, has revealed himself through Jesus right here in what we're reading in John 8, continues to reveal himself through the Holy Spirit, right? Like that's what we hold to. And we don't have any hope outside of that. So I'm open to talk to anybody. If you got more questions, I'll be down front. But I want to pray a blessing over us, right? I also want to tell you guys something. Eddie and Sherry, you guys in the room, I was talking to you earlier. They're right back there. Will you guys stand up for me? Eddie and Sherry lead a baptism class every month. And it's about figuring out, like, hey, am I ready to take my next step with Jesus? And it's not like a pressure thing. If you meet with them, they're not going to pressure you to get baptized. But they want to answer questions, and they want to make sure you take your next step, right? So if you're here today and you're like, I need to take a step. I don't know that I'm fully on board with everything with Jesus. Like, talk to Eddie and Sherry before you leave the room. Talk to somebody before you leave the room. Let me pray to close us out. Thank you, guys, for this morning. Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to God the Father without you. Jesus, we believe in you, and we need your help to obey. We struggle to obey. Please show us the next thing you want us to do. Help us to be close to you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.